Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis.
I'm Ron.
Jean Marie will not be with us today. She is doing an author talk at our local library.
Who are you?
What?
Who are you?
What do you mean? Oh, I didn't get there yet. Collectively,
you still didn't tell us who you are.
Oh, I see. I'm Lita.
Here you go.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are going to be talking about knee replacement surgery with Dawn Richardson. Dawn is a friend of mine that I met in my final couple of years in the Army. Dawn is a retired Navy captain, former restaurant manager, and former bed and breakfast owner, who is delighted to say that she is now retired and finds fulfillment in her volunteer activities and personal pursuits. Hi, Dawn. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, and thank you for the invitation.
Dawn, hi. This is Ron. First off, let me just say thank you for your service to our country. Very much appreciated. Well, to start off, your knee, was that a service-related issue?
It wasn't caused by a specific incident, but by years of running on steel decks and general wear and tear leading to osteoarthritis.
Understood.
But did the VA end up considering it service-connected because of those years?
Because I had the arthroscopic surgery before I retired, the knee was included in my VA disability. After this surgery, the percentage for the disability should increase. And I've submitted that paperwork, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
Well, good luck with that.
Good information for our listeners, too. Unfortunately for me, I did not complain enough about my knee before I retired. So now it's like, oh, yeah, you probably did it somewhere else. Even though I fell into a foxhole during basic training, landed on my knee, and it swelled up like a watermelon. You know what they gave me?
Motrin.
Tylenol?
Motrin.
Motrin.
Vitamin the M.
Medicine of choice.
Vitamin M.
What symptoms first led to your diagnosis, and are those typical symptoms making it rather easy to diagnose?
Pain. You know, I sleep on my side and found that I couldn't sleep through the night because the pain in my knee was forcing me to wake up. If I went to dinner or a movie and I sat for a while with friends, you know, I had to stand up and like hold on to the table for a couple minutes before I could straighten my knee enough to put weight on it to walk. My gait was then uneven and exaggerated. Actually, that would kind of straighten out, but the first couple minutes were just miserable.
Yeah. And I have friends that have bad knees right now that explain the same exact symptoms. So I think that is probably common across the board.
You get up at a restaurant and everybody leaves the table and you're still standing there going, well, it'll be, I'll catch up with you. You know?
Right. Yeah. Right. Did you try, I don't know if we're going to ask this later, but did you try something like a cushion between your knees when you were sleeping?
Yes, I did try that.
Mm-hmm. And that didn't help either?
No.
Okay, all right. I don't remember if I put that in there, but that was a question that popped in my head.
So, Dawn, just a few minutes ago, you had mentioned that years of running on steel and things like that, but was there one specific triggering incident that comes to mind, like, oh wow, I think I did something to my knee,
like falling in a foxhole?
This is gonna sound kind of bizarre, but when my ship crossed the equator and we had a ceremony to go from Wog, part of that ceremony from Wog to shellback, okay, cross the equator and then Navy, you become a shellback. Part of it was crawling on your hands and knees on steel decks that had rivets and slide resistant.
Right. Like a textured surface.
Yes. Textured surface.
Right.
So, and then we had to crawl up a ramp that had ridges in it to keep the vehicles from sliding and stuff.
Oh my God.
And so I'm kind of thinking that,
who was the sadist that decided that was going to be a good idea?
Well, you know, there's a lot of them out there.
A lot of rites of passage. Rites of passage.
Passage?
Somebody could say that better. You know, I'm not sure if I'm looking forward to practicing with teeth soon, but I'm hoping that I sound a little better with teeth again. We'll see. That day is coming.
So it sounds like it may or may not have been that quote-unquote event, but it certainly did not help.
Yeah, it didn't help.
That's for sure. Did your healthcare team need to run any tests before arriving at a diagnosis?
I had the arthroscopic surgery in 2014, so they had x-rays and stuff from 2014.
Okay.
So they took new x-rays after I did each procedure and compared those, but it was basically x-rays.
Okay, all right.
So this next question might sound a little strange. Do you know how common knee replacement surgeries are? And the reason I say strange is, I mean, that could be for the general public or people in the military, such as yourself, where...
Oh, I wonder if the numbers are higher.
That's what I'm thinking. But again, it's just posing that question to you to get your thoughts on it, Dawn.
I looked this up about... 4% of people 50 and older have knee replacements. At age 80, that number's above 10%. And the average age for people to get a knee replacement is 65. And interestingly enough, more women than men get knee replacements. So
now,
I
would guess the women because they're more in tune with their body and they don't mind getting health care for different things. A lot of men are very stubborn.
Too macho? Why do you keep like pushing me?
and put everything off until it's almost too late.
I only waited 15 years to get my knee surgery, but I got it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's why you're not on the show, because you're a lousy.
It's not for my
knee.
Maybe
we'll run a concurrent show with you being what not to do.
Well, you just had me on there for my shoulder.
Yeah, same thing. How long did it take you to get that?
Next question.
Okay. All right. Dawn. No, it's your question.
Yeah, So do you have any of your other friends or family members who've had knee replacement surgery? What to expect? You know, I mean, the surgery is one thing, but it's the aftercare that's probably just as important, if not more important.
Right.
Right. I play cards with five other women, and four of the six of us have had knee replacement. And then my morning coffee clutch is four women and two men, and three of the women have had knee replacements. The fourth woman needs one, but keeps pushing it off and is reluctant to do so.
Well, maybe after listening to this podcast, you'll get on board.
Yeah, none of my family has had any knee issues. Okay.
But it is much more common these days. I mean, you talk to a lot of people just in general, and they've had knee... I mean, medicine has advanced so much where the aftercare, the recovery and the rehab is much shorter now than what it once used to be.
Right. It used to be you had to have the knee replacements replaced every 10 years or something.
Okay.
And now you can go 20, 30 years depending on the kind and how
well it's done.
Yeah. How well it's done. Okay. Yeah.
And Dawn, before you had the knee replacement, I know you had an arthroscopic scope, but did they also scrape at that time? Was there any other suggestions for therapies, physical therapy, occupational therapy, wearing a brace? I mean, was there anything that they advised to do that's less invasive than surgery?
Right. The first step, they sent me to physical therapy, right? It was supposed to help alleviate the pain and improve the function, and that didn't work. So then they sent me for steroid injections, and that didn't work. And finally, the x-rays were showing it was bone on bone. So they said, okay, you know, you failed these other things, so now we can do the surgery.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So they made you jump through the hoops.
And, right.
But, I mean, it's not really a bad thing because, you know, you don't want to go into surgery unnecessarily if physical therapy would help. But I would think that if they did x-rays or MRIs or whatever beforehand and they saw how bad it was, you know, maybe forget about some of those steps. I don't know.
So, Dawn, I've got a question. I typically like to ask people, most people don't want to have a surgery. I'm sure you didn't want to have it, but it finally got to the point that it had to be done. What did you do prior to the surgery to help modify your activities? You know, I mean, you can't go from 100 down to zero, but what did you do to kind of get ready for it or lessen the pain before surgery?
Oh, so getting ready for the surgery. You're not saying, like, what did you do for the 3 years before?
Okay,
prepping for surgery.
Yeah, when you realize you needed surgery, it's like, okay, I got to have it. But before that, you knew something was going on. What did you do to modify your daily routine?
That's a good question.
Modifying my routine didn't work. Like, you know, I sat more instead of walking more, and walking would have been more helpful.
Okay.
But it was painful. So,
Yeah,
it was just at the point where there was nothing to modify that was going to help. You know,
gotcha.
I failed at sleeping, and everybody needs a good night's sleep. We talked about sitting to standing, you know, that was horrible. Kneeling was nigh to impossible, you know. There just wasn't anything to modify that was going to fix this.
Unfortunately, I think most everybody out there can relate to what you're talking about in one way, shape, or form. Maybe not the knee, but something else where it does not matter what you do. It just does not help. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's really a tough situation. So, thankfully, you were able to get that surgery done.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that if people have not tried physical therapy or occupational therapy before, one tool that they have that you may not understand or realize is the recumbent bikes or recumbent steppers or whatever, recumbent. So it takes the pressure, the pressure of the weight of your body off of the knees so that you can exercise with a little less pain.
And like aquatherapy?
Aquatherapy would be another one, right? Scuba diving, take all the pressure off your knees and just flex.
Well, again, I think the whole thing, again, whether it's a knee, the shoulder, the ankle, anything.
Wait, knees and shoulder. Okay.
You see what I put up with over here? They don't pay me enough for this gig. No. I mean, because, again, I'm relating to some of my body. I just had shoulder surgery for a torn rotator cuff. And like you, it was not one incident. It was years and years and years of overuse. And it got to the point where I had to have surgery. Otherwise, it was really a bleak outlook for the future. So I'm still in rehab right now, but I didn't want to have the surgery, but I knew what would happen if I didn't. But leading up to the surgery, oh my gosh, it just changed everything I was doing. And there were times where I couldn't sleep and I couldn't even turn the steering wheel of my car without pain. Mm-hmm. So again, I think our listeners can empathize whatever body part it is. If it's that bad, it's going to really modify how you live life.
Right. But aquatherapy, I think, is a good suggestion. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll put links on our website on places that are available or how to look it up. Dawn, are you able to be more active now that the surgery is complete? Would you say that you're like to a level? I don't remember how long it's been, but and also a follow-up question. Did the doctor actually tell you when you might be back up to snuff? Or
right, it's been 6 weeks, so okay. I'm still kind of at the beginning. The surgeon saw me 2 weeks post-op, and what he had told me to discharge me from the hospital was ice 30 minutes on, 30 minutes off, and keep my legs straight, emphasizing keep my legs straight, because it feels better to ice it when it's bent, but okay. He said use the walker for 2 weeks, sleep on my back with my legs straight, and do 5 exercises that worked the quads, the hamstrings, the calves. And he said if I did those 5 exercises and did all that stuff, I should be good at the 2 week mark.
Okay.
Well, I could do 3 of the exercises, but the other 2 exercises, I couldn't get my quad to work. So when I saw him at that point, he said, okay, my quadricep was slow to wake up. Never heard that before.
Okay.
So he recommended physical therapy at that point. Okay. And at the 2 week mark, he said I could ditch the walker and transition to a cane. And so I used the cane for a couple days and then said, well, this is kind of a pain in the butt. So I stopped using the cane and just went about.
Okay.
Let's see. At the 3 week mark, I could start to do those quadricep exercises that I couldn't do before. And at the 4 week mark is when I finally got in to see the physical therapist. I still have swelling, and it's been 6 weeks.
Okay.
And my right leg, which is not the surgical leg, I can bend 145 degrees. And the left leg, I can bend 128 degrees. So the therapist and the surgeon are really happy with that. And every time I get better at the exercises at the therapist, they add more weight and it makes it more difficult. So the big thing is I can now drive my stick car, my standard transmission car, which I haven't been able to do.
Right, because your left leg.
That's my clutch leg, right?
The clutch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So made that impossible. Thankfully, I had a friend who can drive a stick, and we traded cars for the 6 weeks. And I didn't have to rent something for 6 weeks.
That was nice.
The big thing they were worried about were blood clots, DVTs, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Deep vein thrombosis.
Yes. And infection. So they wanted to make sure there was no redness and hot, and although my knee still gets hot, and they said that's cellular activity healing? From it healing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Did they do any, Gene was here, PRP? They take a little bit of your blood out, they centrifuge it to get the good stuff separated, and then they take that good stuff and inject it into the area to help healing. Did they do that? I think it's PRP.
You did mention that before to me.
No.
Yeah. No? Okay. Uh-uh. Okay.
So, Dawn, if it's any consolation, I had my surgery 4 months ago. And, I mean, I'm doing really well. Don't get me wrong. But I still have a ways to go. The recovery time is 6 to 9 months.
For a shoulder.
For my shoulder, yeah. So, and it's tough when you can't do easily what you used to be able to do easily, and eventually it should come back, but just have patience because it will take time. Again, I'm 4 months out and I'm just trying to have as much patience as I can, but now I'm noticing I'm not having shooting pain like when I'm raising my arm to put a shirt on or things like that, Whereas, you know, 2 weeks ago, I would have that. So it's give it time. If the surgery worked well in the natural healing process, in time, you should be able to get back to where you were prior to that.
Yeah. The surgeon says he doesn't need to see me until the 6 month mark now. So.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And then before surgery, you weren't walking much. You weren't going out much. How have things changed now?
I am getting out, but like I went to the opera last night, and sitting there was not a great thing. I'm supposed to at least ice my leg and elevate it above my heart 3 times a day for 30 minutes. And mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time fitting that in my life, even though I know it's the best thing for me. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's still swelling and irritating.
Another thing that Jean does is she'll lay in bed with her is this a children's show today? Her rear end against the wall and have her legs up on the wall to help, because her, with the brainstem injury, her circulation system doesn't really work as well. And that helps get things going out of the legs and the feet. And I'm wondering, let's say that this is the knee. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to. Yeah, I could straighten. So that's the knee. That may help take more of the swelling down if you could do that, because now it's not only above the heart, it's really up there. And gravity will pull some of that fluid out. It might work. I don't know. If Jean was also here, she'd be saying, but we're not a doctor and we're not pretending
to be. Dr. Lita, M.D.
I'll have to play Jean's part in more ways than one. Dawn, what do you feel is the most misunderstood aspect of knee replacement surgery?
There were 3 things I didn't know going into this. That you're not supposed to travel for 6 months. You're not supposed to get on an airplane. You're not supposed to take a long driving trip for six weeks. Yep.
For DVT restrictions.
Yep.
Okay. Are you on blood thinners?
Aspirin, baby aspirin twice a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see, that you're not supposed to kneel on that knee and put your weight on it for 6 months. And that you shouldn't have any non-emergency dental work for 6 months.
Heard that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
And when you do go to the dentist after that for the 2 years following the surgery, you're supposed to take antibiotics before you have your teeth cleaned and that kind of stuff. So.
Okay. Did you have to have that?
No, actually, I did not. Or if they told me, I forgot.
Great.
no, I have actually heard that with the knee more
yeah.
so than
all right, well,
the
I'm gonna have to
I had my hip done,
I...
and they said the same thing. Let's see.
Let me just say that's probably another reason why you should have somebody with you at the doctor's office.
Yes.
So you have 2 sets of ears.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We do recommend that.
That's
often.
My PSA.
Yeah. Yep. I've met several people that did not keep their legs straight post-surgery, that it's more comfortable to bend it and lay there, and they either had to go back in for another surgery to remove some of the scar tissue and stuff, or they had to live with a permanent bend in their leg and couldn't straighten it at all. So that was something that scared me.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, going in.
Listen to your doctor.
Yeah.
Don't listen to me.
Now that we have a bit of background information, it's time to talk about our initiative. To better serve our listening audience, we are now an affiliate of a major medical supplier in the United States. You will find affiliate links on our website, Podcast DX. They aim to tailor specific medical supplies and equipment based on your diagnosis to make it less stressful than looking through an entire catalog for what you may need. We are open to your suggestions, and we'll adjust our offerings based on what you, our listeners, find helpful. But now, let's return to the show.
As he hands over the mic. Hey, Dawn, do any alternative therapies such as massage, acupuncture, heat, or ice help as you are healing?
Ice is your best friend, and you have to elevate that knee above your head to help with swelling. The physical therapist is like, you got to get on your back, get your knee up 3 times a day, 30 minutes, and ice it. And I was really good about that for the first 2 weeks, or at least for the 5 days when my best friend from college was there supervising.
Okay.
But the first 2 weeks, I was really good about, you know, icing and elevation, and then I kind of slacked off.
And now we see why her swelling is.
Yeah. Bad.
But it's hard if you try to do some of these things independently.
Yeah, I mean, with help, maybe it was easier.
Yeah. And again, I'm just saying I live alone. So some of the things I was doing in rehab and all that with assistance, I needed like my daughter to fly in and spend time with me to help me do those things. When you're by yourself, it's more difficult to, and I'm just imagining if you had knee surgery to try and raise your knee above your head, unless you're in a recliner, like what Lita was talking about, laying down and putting your leg straight up, I would imagine that would be extremely hard to do by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend, she bought me a wedge pillow.
Yes.
And
I was just going to recommend it.
And so laying down on the bed or on the sofa and putting my leg on that wedge pillow.
Okay.
You have to get flat, you know, and you know, I would rather be reading or be on the computer or be doing something if I'm still than having my back on the,
Understood. So, Dawn, what are some of the less apparent things in your life that have been affected by having this surgery?
One of the things I mentioned already was not being able to drive my stick car. That was really irritating.
Sure.
Around the second week, the end of the second week, the implant began clicking. And that was a little disconcerting because nobody had mentioned that before, right? And I asked the surgeon about that. And he said, well, the some of the swelling has gone down. And that's the implant. And once the muscles heal around the implant and the muscles get stronger, that should go away. But I was like, ooh, I've broken it. You know, I messed up somewhere, you know. Cause
Where's the grease dirt? I want to insert some grease in there.
Right? Yeah. And I still have some numbness along the incision. But only on one side of the incision. So somehow when they did the...
A nerve on that side got a little nick.
Yeah. But they said that should resolve itself also.
So actually I have another question, and I don't know if I do know this answer or not. Did they mention anything about traveling, you know, after the, that time period when you're able to travel, like if you have to go through TSA security?
Oh, yeah, you don't ding or set off alarms.
No?
No.
Okay.
They're titanium. They're not not any metal that would, you know,
right,
set off
then a... I don't have to ask a follow-up question.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, then you're done for the day. I did not sleep good. Dawn, what are you looking forward to doing in the next year now that you're repaired? Dawn 2.1, right?
Pre-surgery, I kept telling the physical therapist that I needed to be able to walk so that I can travel to Machu Picchu. And that is a lot of steps and climbing and hiking and stuff to get there up in the Andes.
Andes,
yep,
I think,
Andes.
Yeah.
And I won't be able to do that this January. I won't be healed and strong enough to do that, but January 2025, that's on the bucket list to get
okay.
that done.
All right.
That's a great goal to have.
Yeah.
You got to keep us updated on that for sure. So you mentioned you had your best friend helping you. Any more you can tell us about your friends and family with support? Because this is something that's really difficult to do all by yourself.
Just like you, I live by myself. And I live in a two-story house, and it's 16 steps to get between the two stories, okay?
Wow.
They have tall ceilings there.
Wow.
It's a
Victorian.
When was it? Yeah, when was it built?
1898. Yeah.
They have tall ceilings.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the surgeon said I could go up and down the stairs once a day at the beginning. So the kitchen's downstairs, my bedroom.
But on your butt, right?
No.
Just walking?
Yeah, you have to do one step at a time,
yeah.
You know, okay. Up with the good,
right.
Foot, good foot.
Take like 15 minutes? Seriously. With as many steps, it's got to take at least 10 minutes to get up there.
It takes a while. If somebody rings the doorbell and I'm upstairs,
right.
You know, it's like a lot of times they're gone by the time I get there.
You could have missed Ed McMahon in the $1 million giveaway.
Or
wow,
how about Halloween? I'm coming.
Wow.
But my friend came out and stayed with me for the 5 days right after surgery, which really helped. So, you know, she'd bring food up and stuff. I didn't have to go up and down. And my card group, they would make food for me and take me to appointments and stuff because I couldn't drive. I started driving the automatic transmission about the 3 week mark. So...
Did that feel a little weird? You didn't know what to do with your left foot?
Yes. But, you know, as you travel around the United States, if you rent a car, it's an automatic. So, but it had a push button thing and no key. Mm-hmm. And so that just blew my mind. But, you know, so if I didn't have my friends to take me around and to feed me and do that kind of stuff, I would have had to have gone to a rehab facility and had that experience. Yeah. I have truly great friends. Right, Lita?
Yes, absolutely. I think the world is a better place because of Friends. Now I'm thinking of the TV sitcom Friends. God rest Matthew Perry. He tried at the end. Dawn, what role has self-care played in your life recently?
I'm not very good at it. We've talked about this. You know, Lisa was kind of a dictator, making me lay down and put my knee on that wedge pillow and get it up there. After she left, I would sit on the couch with my feet up, you know, sideways on the couch, but that wasn't quite the same thing, right?
Right.
I'm like, it's not touching the floor, so it's elevated, right? But that's not what they mean.
Not above your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if you sat on the floor and put your legs on the couch.
Yeah, but I'm not sure how I would have gotten up off the floor at that point.
Yeah, you'd probably still be there.
Yeah. So, and the once a day on the steps things, you know, after Lisa left, that just didn't work for me. So, you know, I try and limit it to maybe three times a day. But
But you got bedrooms on the first floor. Why didn't you just for a little bit, you know, pretend you were at a hotel or a bed and breakfast and sleep in one of the other rooms?
Well,
stay on the first floor where the kitchen was.
The walk-in shower is on the second floor, and I couldn't get into the tub. And yeah, I'm in the process of selling the house. So half of the rooms have furniture. I did set up a bedroom downstairs, but the TV and the sofa are upstairs. So between the TV and the sofa and my bed and the shower, you know, I would go down. I would pack a bag full of stuff I thought I needed for the day out of the kitchen and carry that bag up the steps and, you know, snacks and waters. And
so in addition to putting all your weight on the steps, you did that with a backpack full of food and drink.
Yeah.
You sound like one of us over here, I swear.
Yep.
I don't know if it's stubborn or what the thing is. Dawn, what advice do you have for somebody that was recently told that they're going to have knee replacement surgery?
Don't put it off. You're going to be so much happier on the other side of surgery after the first 2 weeks than you were before. I mean, the surgery part in the first 2 weeks are pretty miserable, but, you know, it's not going to hurt as much. Even with the swelling, it's not going to hurt as much as it did before the surgery.
Okay.
Just do it.
Surgical pain is different than bone on bone. Surgical pain is different than bone on bone?
Yes.
Yeah, and I would say the short-term discomfort, and I'll use that with air quotes, is well worth it versus the long-term effects.
Right. I wasn't living the life that I wanted to. I was making up excuses not to go out. I was, you know, and that's not any way to live. I mean.
Right.
Well, we are very, very thankful that you actually took the time out of your schedule to talk to us about your knee replacement. Can our listeners try to reach out to you?
Do you have any social media that you want to share?
I have an email address. If people want to email me, I'm not an expert, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. And if they wanted to buy a bed and breakfast in Virginia?
It's for sale. Find it on Zillow.
All right. Where are you in Virginia?
I'm in Old Town Portsmouth, right near Norfolk and Virginia Beach. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Retired Navy.
My goal is to get out there one day.
Well, I'm sure you will. Yeah. Thank you, Dawn, for joining us today. Sorry that we're goofs. I guess we didn't have Jean to rein us in. Now we know what it's like without her. If our listeners have any questions or comments about today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com.
Did we get Dawn's email?
I was going to put it on the website.
Okay. Did you want to say it, though, Dawn?
Do you want to read it out loud?
I can. Do you want it?
Okay, go ahead.
Do you want it military? It's Dawn.
Yes, please.
Dawn dot Richardson, RICHARDSON dot USN, as in Navy, @gmail.com.
Thank you.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. And yeah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm doing a quick thing. If you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast.
As always, please remember that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice. Sorry, diagnosis or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking of it seeking it because of something that you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.